Jesus to a courtroom of mockery and nailed him to an old cross to die. They laughed at his statement, "I'll rise again, you'll see one pierce a sharp spear in his side."
He cried, "It is finished," was ready on the hillside. He hung his hands. His words were remembered by Mary as she cried, "I must die, but I'll live again."
Not even the grave clothes, not even the stone, not even the soldiers who watched all night long, not even the great Roman seal at the door, all the powers of darkness couldn't hold down our Lord.
Just journey to Jerusalem, see the tomb that held Jesus.
You'll find that his body is gone.
Oh, but there's still an echo that shouts at the devil, "You're defeated, Christ Jesus is won."
Not even the grave clothes, not even the stone, not even the soldiers who watched all night long, not even the great Roman seal at the door, all the powers of darkness couldn't hold down our Lord. Not even the grave clothes, not even the stone, not even the soldiers who watched all night long,
not even the great Roman
seal at the door, all the powers of darkness,
all the powers
of darkness,
all the
powers of darkness couldn't hold down our Lord.
If you would stand with me again and grab your gray songbooks that are underneath your chair, they're gray or silver, whichever you prefer. Beyond the Cross is song number 2. Needing Strength for My Journey. And if you would please stand, if you're able to, as we sing song number 2, Needing Strength.
Needing strength for my journey, I knelt at the cross where Jesus once died for me. And I asked, is this the place where hope abides? And this he said to me, beyond the cross is a tomb that is empty. You won't find me there anymore. And beyond the tomb is life everlasting, hope forevermore. Then I sought reassurance, and I went to the tomb, to the place where his body once lay. And I cried, "Lord, help me see, is there hope here for me?" And this I heard him say, beyond the cross is a tomb that is empty. You won't find me there anymore. And beyond the tomb is life everlasting, hope forevermore.
You may be seated.
the third day since he died, and it was said he would arise then from the grave. This Lamb came forth. Oh, I have reason to rejoice. There rose a Lamb in Jerusalem. He was the Son of the great I Am. He proved to me my victory. There rose a Lamb in Jerusalem. He chose the place, he chose the hour that he would rise by his own power, a sacrifice 3 days ago. And now praise God, the Lamb arose. There rose a Lamb in Jerusalem. He was the Son of the great I Am. He proved to me my victory. A Lamb in Jerusalem. I wasn't there when Jesus died. I wasn't there to see him rise. Oh, but I was there when he saved my soul. For within my heart his love arose. There rose a Lamb in Jerusalem. He was the Son of the great I Am. He proved to me my victory. There rose a Lamb in Jerusalem. He proved to me my victory. There rose a Lamb in Jerusalem.
Thank you for that. What a blessing. If you didn't notice, we believe in a risen Savior here. Amen. So how many times can you talk about it? All day long. All the time. Praise the Lord for that. If you get your Bibles open to the book of Matthew chapter number 28, please, this morning. Matthew chapter 20. If you don't have a Bible with you, you can listen. We'll read a few scripture verses this morning in Matthew chapter 28. And we'll read the first 6 verses of this passage this morning. Again, thank you for joining us today on this Easter Sunday, and thank the Lord that we got a nice Sunday today. We got up this morning and it was still a little dark and pretty foggy out, I'm sure at your place as well. And we got up and my youngest daughter looked out and said, "Dad, is it froggy today?" And I said, "Yes, it's froggy today." So she was very curious to make sure the weather was still good for the Easter egg hunt. I don't know if she was as concerned about the church stuff, but the Easter part. Anyway, Matthew 28, verse number 1, if you'd stand to your feet as we honor the Word of God and read the Scripture verses today. Matthew 28, and we'll read the first 6 verses of this passage, please. Matthew 28, verse number 1, it says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this morning and the time to be in the house of God as we get to read about the account of Jesus' resurrection. Not a story, but the truth that the Savior rose again. I'm thankful that you give the evidence of eternal life and you have power and victory. Thank you for this day. Bless this service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Think you may be seated. As we look at this passage today, these women, a number of women came this first day of the week, this Sunday morning, as Jesus prophesied, and they came to the tomb that morning, and they were troubled when they saw the stone rolled away, and the angel said, Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. They came to see Jesus. They were saddened by the thought that Jesus was not there. Could you imagine going to a cemetery where a loved one was buried and to go to that tomb, to that grave, and to see that it was open and it seemed that someone had maybe desecrated the tomb or that cemetery? And he said, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. And in verse number six, He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. That stone was rolled across from the front of that tomb, and he said, Come and see the place where his body laid. He was not there anymore. He had risen again, and he was alive, and he lives forevermore. I think about Jesus Christ as he was crucified, and as he was on that cross, and Pilate and Nicodemus came, and they asked for the body of Jesus. They begged the body of Jesus that they would give him, Jesus, a proper burial. And they took the body of Jesus and they anointed it with oils and spices, and they wrapped the body and placed it in a tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, a borrowed tomb, and placed him there and placed a napkin on his head and rolled the stone upon that door that day, and Jesus' body laid there. One day it laid there, 2 days it laid there, and on that third day, something happened. And on that third day, Jesus Christ rose again from the tomb. They came to find an empty tomb, but instead they came to find an empty tomb. They came to find Jesus, but they came to find a risen Savior. If Jesus Christ was still in that tomb, then we meet here in vain today. If Jesus Christ did not rise again from the grave, then he is just like any religious leader that has ever walked the face of this earth. But Jesus is unlike any other. He is a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He is the life. And you cannot be the life, the eternal life for mankind if you're still in the grave and in the tomb. As Jesus was in that tomb, and there was some of the soldiers that came to Pilate, and they came to him and they said, he said he would rise again in 3 days. Now, they didn't believe he would rise again, but they believed the disciples were going to come and take his body and fake his resurrection. And so they came to Pilate, and he said, put a watch in front of that stone and put a seal on that door. And Pilate said just a few verses before we read, and he says this, make it as sure as you can. Think about that. Make it as sure as you can. So they set a number of guards out there. There was a watch, maybe of Roman soldiers. I've read up to maybe 16 soldiers that were there. And they would guard this tomb. And they would have a portion of the ground that they would each stand upon. And they would not be sleeping, or they would take turns sleeping, because their job was to watch this tomb. And they would guard it to make sure no one came in and no one came out. And then there was a seal put on the door, and that seal on the door was a sign of authentication that the tomb was occupied. And the by the power of the authority of Rome, they put the seal there. And anyone found breaking that seal would have the punishment of death. So you've got the stone rolled upon the door, you've got the seal, you've got the watch there, but nothing could hold the Savior inside. There is nothing and no one that could keep our Savior from rising again from the grave. That third day, as you picture it, those women came early, the first day of the week. The Bible says it was dark, and it was just starting to dawn that day. And as they came with their spices, and they came that morning, and the sun was just starting to come up. But when they came that morning, as I'm guessing they came at other days, something was different. Something had changed. Something was not like it was at other days, and the stone rolled back, and the angel sitting on the door, and something was different that day. As they came to see this tomb and heard that it was empty, they came back and ran to tell the disciples. And the disciples came, and they came to the tomb that day, and they said, "Come and look here and see where his body used to lay. See where his body was." And when they looked inside, they saw an empty tomb, and there was no body there. There was no one that took him out. Jesus didn't need the stone to be rolled to get out. He could rise from the grave whether that stone was there or not. But that stone was rolled back. Why? To show the empty tomb to all mankind. It wasn't some kind of a magic trick. It wasn't some kind of a sleight of hand. It was Jesus and his power rising again from the grave. The stone was rolled back, and they came to look in that tomb. And what they found were the grave clothes that they laid Jesus in. The grave clothes were laying there. And they looked in there and saw this napkin neatly folded, the cloth that covered the face of Jesus Christ, laying there neatly placed. History tells us the folded napkin was known by Jewish servants. When the master was done eating, if he crumbled up his napkin and threw it there and he left, that means he was finished. He wasn't coming back. But if the servant saw that napkin was neatly folded and placed there, that meant that the master is coming back. And when they entered that tomb and they saw the grave clothes there and the napkin neatly folded, they saw a testimony of Jesus Christ that he left there. He left the empty tomb. He left the grave clothes, but he left the napkin to say, "I have come back." He said, "I have come back." The soldiers, after Jesus Christ was risen from the grave, they came to Jesus, and instead of having him punished or killed, as you would say, if someone had stolen his body, the watch guards would have been killed. But instead of that, it says, and when they were assembled with the elders and taken counsel, it says they gave large sums of money to the soldiers, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. They said, there is no evidence other than he rose again, but let's pay off everyone that we can to say that his body was stolen. And the saying is still true to this day, they said. Not the stone could keep Jesus in, not that seal, not the watch, and not even lying and the bribery to say that the Savior had been stolen. We understand this as a Christian today, that Jesus rose from the grave. When Jesus rose from the grave, there's about 10 evidences that Jesus showed himself to everyone that he was alive. He came and appeared at the tomb that day. He appeared to the disciples multiple times. He came in when there was a closed and a locked room, and he appeared in the room. Jesus didn't need a door. He could appear wherever he wants to. And he came to see him that day, and they saw the risen Savior. All the disciples that had fled and left Jesus and departed, they came to that room, and Jesus came, and they saw the nail prints in his hand. They saw the nail prints in his feet and the pierced side. But while they were there, there was a disciple, Thomas, as he has been termed, Doubting Thomas. And Thomas doubted, and he said, "Unless if I see the nail prints in his hands and his feet, I will not believe." And so Jesus, 8 days later, came and appeared in a room again and came to where the disciples were and to Thomas. And he came to him that day, and he said, "Take your hands and thrust it in my side." And Thomas believed. You know, we have so many evidences the Savior is alive and that he's real. He appeared to over 500 people at one time. There's more evidence of Jesus resurrection than much of the history that we read in history books today, because Jesus not only rose from the grave, but he proved it time and time again that he was and he is who he said he was. If Jesus did not rise from the grave, then he is a liar. If Jesus did not rise from the grave, he is not the Son of God. If Jesus did not rise from the grave, we cannot have eternal life. If Jesus didn't rise from the grave, then the Bible is not true, and we're wasting our time here today. But I can tell you this, that Jesus rose again, and he is victorious. He got victory over death and over sin and over hell. The resurrection proves that Jesus is God. Jesus was more than just a man. He was God. Jesus prophesied about his death. He prophesied about his resurrection. He told him exactly how it would happen, and he did it exactly as he said. Death has a 99.9% success rate, other than when it comes to Jesus. There's been others that were raised from the dead in the Bible, but there's only one that rose himself from the grave, and that is Jesus. If he did not rise from the grave, he is not the Son of God. And we're meeting in vain, and our hope is in vain. Others are raised back to life, but not Jesus. In John chapter 2, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years was the temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, as they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. How many times did Jesus tell them he would be crucified? And they doubted. How many times did he say be crucified? And they went to fight those, they went to take Jesus. How many times did he prophesy he would rise from the grave? But that third morning, there was a handful of women that came to the tomb. Where was everyone else? Where were the rest of them? When those women came to the tomb that day and saw that it was empty, now I'll give you this. I've never seen someone rise from the grave. Have you? Have you ever come to a tomb where someone once was dead and now they're alive? Before we throw cold water on their party, we'd be the same today, I would say as well. But they came, and those women ran back to the other disciples, and they came to that tomb and they saw it. And the Bible says when they saw it, that resurrection, then they believed. Then they believed. See, the resurrection is what proves that Jesus is God, that he is the Son of God. Cemeteries and graves are full of the remains of those that have died, but there are no bodily remains of Jesus. Jesus Christ is alive and he lives forevermore. If you were to look, if you were to look in the cemeteries all over the place, if you look in the pyramids, that there's the tombs and that there's coffins of famous people that have died and Egyptian kings. If you look in Westminster Abbey in London, it rests the bodies of English nobles. Muhammad's tomb is noted for the stone coffin. The Taj Mahal was built as a memorial to one of the Shah's wives. The Arlington Cemetery is a place where you go to visit where those that have given their lives and they were buried and they're honored there. But the Garden Tomb of Jesus is famous not because of what is inside, but because it is empty. We go to places to worship, or you go to places to show your respect and your reverence, but when you go to the tomb of Jesus Christ, it's empty. There's no bones and there's no body because Jesus is alive today. It proves that he is God. The resurrection not only proves that he is God, but the resurrection, it promises eternal life. Jesus' death paid the punishment for our sin. He had to go through a cruel death. His blood was shed, his body was beaten beyond human recognition, nailed to that cross, and he gave his life. He yelled out the words, "It is finished," and he gave up the ghost. He gave his life. He paid the punishment of our sin. The blood of a perfect sacrifice must be shed to pay for our sins. But he went to the grave, and for 3 days, it seemed that he was dead, but then he rose again. And that's what offers us eternal life. See, his death gives us forgiveness of our sin, but his resurrection gives us eternal life. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. If he did not rise from the grave, this passage says, then our faith is in vain. It's empty. There's nothing to it. It says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Then it says this, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, yet are ye in your sins, the Bible says. If Christ be not raised, we're dead in our sins, and our faith is in vain. Our preaching is in vain. Our life is in vain, and our hope is in vain if he did not rise again from the tomb. How could we have eternal life if he stayed dead? It would not prove he was God. It would not prove he would offer us eternal life. He would be what seemed to be a good person that died to give their life for others. I'm thankful for those that lay down their lives for our freedoms, aren't you? Those that protect our country and give freedoms to us today, they gave their lives, but Jesus Christ is alive. He said he offers living water to where if you drink of it, you'll never thirst again. That's the eternal life that Jesus Christ can offer. 1 Corinthians 15 also says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not defeated today. We don't have to be sorrowful today. He did die on the cross, but he is victorious over death. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. That's why as a Christian, you can be thankful and victorious today for your salvation. I was talking with someone as they came into church today, and I said, there's something special about Easter Sunday. I love Christmas time when Jesus Christ, we celebrate when Jesus Christ came to this earth and came to be born and give his life. But I'm also thankful, and there's a certain excitement and hope the day we celebrate when he rose again. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Why? Because God gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. We don't have victory in ourselves. We don't have hope in this world. We have hope in the Savior. Amen today. For a Christian, death is just for a moment. For a Christian, death is just passing from this life to the next, but then you have eternal life. For those that are lost, if you die in your sins, death is not the end. It's the end of this life. But then there's a second death to a place called hell. That God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God does not want anyone to go there, and that's why he died, to pay for our sin. If there was another way to heaven, God would have given you another way. If there was another hope, another avenue, God would have given you another way. But it's only through Jesus Christ. For a Christian, death is passing from this life to eternal life. You think about that. One day, it's appointed to men once to die, and after this, the judgment. There will be a time where we will pass from this life, and you will enter into eternity. You'll either enter eternity with eternal life or eternal damnation. There's only two choices. And it all has to do with this. What did you do with the Savior? You've been presented with the Word of God. You've been presented with the Savior. Maybe this is the first time you've heard it. Maybe this is the 100th time you've heard it. But you have a choice with what you do with the Savior. Some would believe in Jesus Christ, and others would reject Jesus Christ. But you have the same choice today to accept or reject the Savior. The resurrection proves that Jesus is God. The resurrection promises eternal life, but also the resurrection proves the doubters wrong. It proves the doubters wrong. The resurrection is the hope of a Christian, again, that we have a risen and a living Savior. The doubters would love to re-explain Scripture. They'd like to say that Jesus didn't actually die, that he swooned and he was in the grave for a few days, but he wasn't actually dead. They'd like to say that his body was taken. They'd like to claim their false claims, but the resurrection proves the doubters wrong. Other religious leaders have lived and died, but they're still dead. But Jesus is alive, and it proves, again, the doubters are wrong. I've been to a number of funerals, and I've been to a number of cemeteries, but I've never seen one where someone came back to life. That would kind of shake things up a little bit, I would assume, if that happened. But Jesus came back, and when he came back, he came in his resurrected body. He came and he showed him the nail prints. He showed him the thorn pierced in his side and in his feet. He showed him the punishment he went through. Why did he do that? For you and for me. He showed him. Again, he was crucified with a public crucifixion. He was buried in a borrowed tomb that was guarded by soldiers, and they were there to testify of the Savior as well. He came back to show the prince in his side and in his feet. Why? He did all that to prove the doubters wrong. There's always going to be doubters, but don't listen to the doubters. Listen to the Word of God. As you look at Scripture, God tells us what he went through for us. The book of Revelation says this, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And the keys of death and of hell." That Jesus has the keys of death and hell, and he's alive and he lives forevermore. In the book of Job, Job would say this. He says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." We sang that song earlier about he lives. He lives within my heart. The man that wrote that, his name is Alfred Ackley. He was a musician and a preacher, and he wrote this famous hymn, "He Lives." At this time in 1933, he was challenged by a young student who was confused as to why Christians worshiped someone who had died centuries before. In response, Ackley is quoted as saying, "He lives, I tell you. He is not dead, but he lives here and now. Jesus Christ is more alive today than ever before. I can prove it by my own experience as well as the testimony of countless others." Fueled by the student's questions, he wrote the lyrics to this popular hymn that we sing today. "I serve a risen Savior. He is in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. How do we know this? He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart." What a great testimony. How can you prove God? Yes, by faith. But the evidence of God is all around us. My question isn't this, how can you prove God? My question is, how can you disprove God? How can you look all around at what God has created and all that God has done? How can you look at the Scriptures and say there is no God? How could you look at the Scriptures and say there is no resurrection, there is no eternal life? How do you know that? Because he lives within my heart. There's a testimony that every single Christian that walks around, as you think about those that came to the tomb that day, as they came and saw the empty tomb, they ran and told others. And they came and they ran and told others. Word started spreading that Jesus Christ was alive. As Christians today, you know that you're saved. How can we keep quiet about a risen Savior? I was telling someone this morning, I drove my son this morning to the bus, and I came back and I drove by the golf course. It was pretty foggy still, and the parking lot was pretty full. And I think, really, on Easter Sunday, you're going to go and hit a ball around? Monday, that'd be great. Sunday, no. And as we came to church, I rolled the window down. My wife didn't like that so much on her side, and I rolled the window down, and I yelled out, "He's alive! He is risen!" I don't think anyone heard me. Maybe it messed up their shot. But he is alive, and he lives forevermore. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Do you know that you're saved today? You serve a risen Savior. You have your doubts. You look at Scripture. Jesus Christ proved it over and over and over again that he is who he said he was. Jesus fulfilled every promise and every prophecy that he ever gave, and he proved himself to be true. He is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Have you trusted in that Savior? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? Trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You can't deny that Jesus is the Son of God. You can't deny that he paid for our sins. You can't deny the resurrection and be a Christian. You must believe in those to know that you have eternal life. They were all necessary to have eternal life. Have you accepted that gift of salvation? You know, today could be that day you trust in the Lord as your Savior. If you've never asked Him to save you, I can't think of a better day than Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, to put your faith in the Savior. If you came to the tomb that day, you couldn't deny that the Savior was there and He's not there anymore, and that He is who He said He is. You can't look at the Word of God and deny Him. Maybe you have questions. Maybe you need someone to show you the Scriptures. We'd love to show you that today. The resurrection brings hope. The resurrection brings hope as a hope that this world cannot offer you, a hope that this world cannot give you. We have hope in eternal life. We have a lively hope in the Savior. The resurrection brings hope, but it also brings faith. You may not have a lot of hope in this world, and you may not have a lot of faith in this world, but if you have faith in God, you have everything that you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ as your only way of salvation. The resurrection not only brings hope, and not only brings faith, but the resurrection brings life. It brings life. It brings eternal life. There's a moment you'll take your last breath, and me as well. Have you trusted in the Savior, or have you rejected Him? Have you accepted Christ as your only way to heaven? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He came for you. He died for you. He went to the grave for 3 days for you, and He rose again for you to have eternal life. There's not a single person that God would want to miss heaven. There's not a single person that God would not forgive and allow into heaven if you would, by faith, turn to the Lord as your Savior. Head bowed and eyes closed, please, this morning. Do you know that Savior today? As the Scripture says, He is not here, for He is risen. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. What a great Savior that we have. The love, the sacrifice that Jesus went through for you and for me, what an incredible sacrifice it was. Do you believe in the Savior today? Have you thanked Him today? Do you realize that our faith and our hope is not in this world, but it is in Jesus Christ? If you've never trusted in the Savior today, could be that day. Today could be that day you, by simple faith, ask Him to come into your heart, and your eternity is changed from a place called hell, that condemnation we deserve for our sin, but it could be changed to have eternal life in a place called heaven. If by faith you'd simply ask and receive the Savior. We'll have a moment of invitation in just a minute, and then the service will conclude after that. But let me ask you this. If you've never trusted in the Lord as your Savior, why not today? Why not today? Why not today?